WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeman, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night means only one thing, WTR, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey guys, if you have that Amazon Prime link to Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. I am the producer, Sir Rockin, joined as always by Keishi Matsunaga.
Hey, I just realized my mic was unplugged. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, sweet. Then yeah, I'm here with a plugged in mic ready to talk about wrestling.
So glad that it worked. And we didn't have 1,000 issues like others.
I don't know what you're talking about. My microphone works great.
We have the intern, Kane Kittens.
You know, Rock, I am so glad that you decided to pay homage to, you know, the important member of the Bloodline with this intro song. Thank you for acknowledging him.
I mean, he wasn't the first one to acknowledge him, but...
No, but... He is a member of the Bloodline, so.
Is he on the shirt?
He will be.
Until he is, we won't acknowledge it.
But he's technically part of the Bloodline on Keishi's team as well, so.
Yes, together you and I willed it into existence.
Exactly! We brought it into being on TV, it's great!
No. Just no!
Just like I will soon will into existence Big Bad Boris's low impact aqua size extravaganza. If you know, you know.
If you don't, you haven't been following Keishi on Twitter at Kyle Driver.
It's basically all I do on there.
And the other voice you heard is the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. The answer is no, but my question for you is, how does this affect CM Punk?
Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Apparently, CM Punk.
Does he even care?
And he's the only one that thinks that.
Yeah, he's got a bit of heat allegedly brewing in the back over at AEW. Some people have bitched and complained and grumbled about his attitude.
What? Apparently, he's not the only one.
So, yeah.
So, Keish, we were looking forward to Wednesday, right?
Kind of.
And how that turned out.
I was looking forward to is not a word I would use. I mean,
waiting.
I also wouldn't use the opposite, but yes, a wait and see approach. That's the one.
Yeah, and how did it turn out?
And what did you see?
I saw things and stuff and a very surprising match.
Was it even a match?
Well, I mean the bell rang at two different intervals, both before and after a pin. squash matches are still technically matches.
For the biggest match in AEW history, we sure had a squash.
Well, dude. I mean, I don't know. Part of me kind of is like, okay, and I mean, this is obviously, you know, fantasy booking, but if the rumors are true and they're going to redo it at the pay-per-view, because they still call them pay-per-views, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So at the pay-per-view, then it's not that big of a deal from that standpoint that it went the way it did.
Hang
on. From a, I bought a ticket to go see, I'm super excited to see Mox and CM Punk go at it, and you get a slightly longer finger poke of doom, I'd be a little bit miffed. But at the same time, and this is my own personal opinion, like, most people didn't buy those tickets to see that match because it was only announced a week ago. It was kind of just a bonus. So you could be disappointed, but at the same time, it's not like you bought that ticket expecting that to happen.
But can you run that match back 10 days later?
Depends on how they build it up in the next 10 days.
No, it's they don't even have that. They got two shows.
Yeah. And it depends. I mean, I guess fantasy booker in my brain thinks that, you know, best course of action would be have Moxley come out, talk trash, have CM Punk kind of limp out or go out with the crutch, and then, you know, pull the heel shenanigans, and that would set up decent. It would be enough of a setup to be like, I don't know, him faking it or whatever.
Him,
I have question.
Before you get there, him faking injury leading to going to Chicago Punk's hometown doesn't sort of get the heat you want.
No, it's not going to. I didn't say it was a good idea. I just said best course of action.
Best course of action. Okay. Brent, questions go.
So we're going to get fans shitting on the fact that they're going to run a rematch 10 days after they did a TV match like they do elsewhere, right? Because that's what everyone talks about, is the fact that, oh my god, all we get are rematches, and we're gonna get a rematch, if all's to be believed, right?
I guess.
So everyone should shit on this, right? I
mean, people are going to shit on it, 100%. It's just, you know, like the other side, when it gets shit on, there will be people who are trying to pick up the shit and put it in a nice little baggie and place it in a receptacle like they're supposed to.
Do people actually do that?
I mean, not in the best way. They usually just kind of pick it up and try and throw it back at them.
There you go.
Yeah. It's just going to be, shit will be all over the place.
So Brent, I have a question for you.
Yes.
When they do it's the casino ladder match. There's always a wild card, right? Or Joker, whatever. We all really think it's MJF, right? He's going to win that ladder match and get his title shot, right?
Is that what it's really going to build up to? Him disappearing for a while to return just to win the ladder? that would be, no offense, that would be such a wet fart of a book.
But would you put it past them?
I wouldn't put it past them because it's the whole, like, you guys have forgotten about it. And we have to have a big surprise reveal as part of this, because that's what we've done every match that we've done with this. It's like having that Joker or, you know, the surprise entrant or whatever the hell you want to call them. It's supposed to be someone decent. And, you know, the first one was Brian Cage. That turned out well. Let me see. Who are the other ones that we've had in that spot?
As you figure that out, you can look it up. I want to ask Casey this. Excited for the Machine Guns to appear on an AEW show?
From an aspect of watching the Machine Guns wrestle, yes. I enjoy the Machine Guns. I like watching them wrestle. So the fact that they're, I mean, regardless of whether it's an AEW thing or a one-off or, you know, people playing nice in the sandbox, which is always fun and good to see, I'm okay with it.
Are they faces or heels here?
Heels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, makes a logical sense impact-wise.
Well, yeah, because they're teaming with Lethal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, then they're definitely heels. But, I mean, if you kind of look at, I'm sure the way they'll spin it around is, I think they were both members of ROH at one point, were they not?
I see parts of them, yeah.
Either that or, you know, they'll tie it back to Lethal's tenure in Impact.
Yeah, you have that to go
fall back on. So, I mean... bringing, you know, Lethal bringing the guns in makes sense from a standpoint of they know each other. They've been up and down the roads together. It makes sense to bring in these indie guys. And with the way they've been kind of portraying Lethal and Sanjay, it's not like they're making a whole lot of friends in AEW, so they can't go and scoop up a couple of guys that are already existing in the locker room, because it doesn't seem like anybody wants anything to do with them.
And one other question about this show, because we're going to preview WWE Clash at the Castle here in a minute. The hottest babyface going into Double or Nothing was Wardlow. He's sort of been cooled off, huh?
I mean, it's nice that you put him with FTR.
who can't get in the video game, apparently.
Yeah, I just saw that a couple hours ago, which is interesting. But, I mean, that being said, like, FTR are a hot tag team. Putting Wardlow with them is a good way to keep his momentum going, especially when you look at the fact that he's got the TNT championship and you can take or leave. You can, you know, say whatever you will about that title, whether it's secondary, whether it's hardly thought about or not pushed as much as the main title and other things, which, I mean, you know, lots of things are taking a backseat to the heavyweight and the trios titles right now. But that's just right now. Who knows what'll happen in a week or 2 weeks' time.
Until the next title gets introduced to the company.
Sure.
Because that's been the way it's been lately. Yeah.
But, I mean, putting those guys together makes sense. You also haven't had Wardlow running around just like steamrolling guys like he did before. So I think that takes a little bit away from the aura that they were kind of putting around him as just a guy who goes in and just whips people's asses.
It went from him being featured in a segment every single week to maybe you see him. That's kind of been the change.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, if you want to go double-edged sword about it, if you look at the size of the roster that AEW has, you can't feature the same people all the time without putting a whole bunch of leaving a whole bunch of people in the back. So if we're kind of letting Wardlow sort of exist in a background sort of storyline right now, but still kind of be on TV to make room for some other stuff, and then, you know, later on just kind of flip it around, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Does that also mean that AEW is slightly bloated then? And I know that you just have to cycle people through, but if he's like a secondary champion and you're really trying to find a way to get him on TV again, that seems a little problematic.
It could be. But I mean, I don't know. It's like the way that I look at it, which is obviously a very optimistic point of view, if you haven't figured that out by everything that I say all the time, putting him with FTR and like mixing that up, and they have a history of both being part of the Pinnacle, so it makes sense to have those guys together. They still get featured, but you can kind of run that main event or, you know, upper card picture with other guys and not have them kind of getting completely lost, and all of a sudden you don't see them for weeks at a time, kind of like you do with a United States or an Intercontinental or a 24/7 championship. So it's not, I mean, I don't personally think they're doing them dirty, but it is interesting how quickly they cycle things through.
Because they have two promotions in one. That's where we're
that
at.
Is, and yeah, that's kind of and where, we had a where third. The biggest problem comes.
We had a third with New Japan there for a month.
Yep, so.
It doesn't help things whatsoever. But that's kind of all out, which is the reason why we're not live next Sunday. Because they're running a pay-per-view next Sunday. WWE's running one this coming Saturday. A premium live event, however you want to call it. Which is called Clash at the Castle, right, Tim?
Technically, yeah. Are they running two?
And NXT.
NXT TakeOver.
Worlds Collide.
NXT Worlds Collide.
That's it. Worlds Collide. Hey, you know, we're looking at over 20 hours of wrestling between now and next Sunday night, starting tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Starting tomorrow. Like,
sure. Yeah, let's revise that. Starting tomorrow through next Sunday night, 20 hours minimum.
Three, two, of wrestling. Two, that's 7, 10, we'll go 11, 14 just on WWE alone. And then you can count Dynamites 2 and Rampage 1 and a 4-hour pay-per-view. So, yeah. And if you watch Dark, and, you know, in the 18 matches that they'll throw at you. There you go. But let's talk about Clash of the Castle, Tim.
Yeah, we can talk about Clash of the Castle. That's happening next Saturday afternoon. What is that kickoff at 11 o'clock our time in the morning?
It's 1 Eastern, so that would be, yeah, it'll be 11 yeah. a.m. your time, 10 Brent's time.
Yay! 11 Mountain, 1 Eastern, 10 Brent's time. Clash at the Castle.
I have my
and
own time.
It is the WWE Premium Live Events only on Peacock. In the United States.
So we got the Intercontinental Championship on the line. Gunther taking on...
Gunther.
Taking on Sheamus.
People have to say it properly. It's Gunther.
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 And Sheamus?
No, actually they spell it really strangely, and that's for the benefit of wrestling fans who don't understand Gaelic writing or Celtic writing. Sheamus is actually S-E-A. Anyways,
Sheamus, who wants to have a banger after 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 banger, etc.
He just wants to fight, fella.
He does.
He wants to fight, fella. I'm with the IC Championship. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to this one. I want to see how Gunther can do against somebody like Sheamus. I'm gonna call Gunther as the champion, retaining the title right now, but. I'm expecting this match to be half fast-paced and half drawn out and methodical. 50-50 on the pacing.
Okay.
But I'm also looking forward to what these guys can potentially deliver in the ring against each other. Have they been up head-to-head on WWE programming yet?
No, I don't think they would have never had a chance to fight one-on-one.
No, because Gunther was NXT UK for the longest, like forever.
Sheamus was out for a while. And yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, and they may have faced off briefly in the Survivor Series.
Yeah, if they did, yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know what else to say about what I've said.
Because
I said a lot.
Beat the ever-living hell out of each other. That's what's going to happen.
Sheamus's chest is going to be the same color as his hair by the end of it.
Oh, and now, I'm willing to bet Gunther's chest is going to be a slightly different shade as well.
Who's bigger, Gunther or Sheamus?
That's an interesting question. Well, Sheamus...
I'm going to the video.
Sheamus definitely has more of a bodybuilder build.
He's buffer.
Yes.
Doesn't make him bigger.
No. I'm just stating facts.
No, like, if you want to talk density, I think Gunther has him beat in that department.
Well...
Oh. God.
Gunther's trimmed up quite a bit.
Wait a minute. Why'd you say, oh, God?
Hold on. I'll send that. Hold on. I'm sending the picture.
I have to see the picture.
Yeah. Lindsay, they're both going to get an inverted titty. Both of them.
Oh, that is the perfect, like, capture.
Just a minute. Let me click the link.
And
hi, Lindsay.
His fist is becoming embedded in that guy's chest, basically. That's all.
Yeah.
Casey saying that admiringly.
Casey does say admiringly stuff like that. Don't you, Casey?
Two big beefy men smacking meat.
He said that with glee just now. I want everyone to realize that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see two big beefy men smacking meat. Like, they're going to tenderize the crap out of each other.
It looks like Sheamus is slightly... Like, maybe by an inch taller than Gunther. They're roughly the same size shoulder-wise, but Sheamus has a better build.
Yeah, but Jesus, Gunther's that got that, weird. Like, Gunther's got that I work on a farm body.
Yeah, that picture finally loaded for me. Holy Christ.
Gunther has the I work in a factory body. Sheamus has the I work out at the bar. But he's lifting the kegs kind of, you know, body. And I do have to say, because I'm watching the video right now, I loved the spot on SmackDown where just the chaos is going on around them and they just never break eye contact with one another. They're just standing there ready to go while their compatriots are just beating the high holy hell out of each other.
Who the hell is that guy that Gunther's got his fist buried into about to tear his heart out?
Not sure.
Whoever it is, I hope he has a good health care planned in order to remove those digits.
That's just an absolutely amazing camera capture. Kudos to the photographer for that one.
Yeah, it was from Progress, I think. So I don't know if we have a or WXW or whatever it was. So it's not a WWE person. Anywho, who's winning this one, Casey?
I think Gunter will retain.
Brent, who's the babyface in this one?
I don't think there is one. If there's going to be someone that, if there's someone that the fans will cheer, possibly Sheamus, just because of the proximity to Wales. But in terms of just how they act, how they're going to go into this match, it's no one. They're just going to beat the high holy hell out of one another.
The baby faces will be the children that are crying after seeing these two beat the holy hell out of each other.
The baby faces are all the fans who get to watch and enjoy this match.
Who wins, Brent?
Even though it would make him a Grand Slam champion if he were to pick up the belt here, I think this is going to be a match to allow Gunther to show that he can beat a large opponent as well and help kind of cement the IC title run that he has basically just started.
And Tim already announced he's going Gunther. All right. Up next, match we were going to see at SummerSlam. It's Riddle taking on Seth freaking Rollins.
Freaking!
Thoughts?
They let this one breathe a little more, which is kind of nice to see. If we'd gotten it at SummerSlam, no doubt, still would have been a good match. But at least with this, there's a little more emotion behind it, considering Riddle was hurt by Rollins. And it's, moved it back so that you still get the match, but it's not necessarily, the rematch or drawing it out just to get to this pay-per-view. It's like everything that they put on TV involving these two has been a nice escalation to making it where you want to see Riddle get his hands fully on Seth Rollins within a match, because you've only seen them battling, but you've never seen an actual match between the two.
They put in genuine time and effort to keep you interested and keep your interest piqued for this match to finally take place at Clash.
Yeah.
And they've done a good job of it.
Oh, 100%.
Because it would have been really easy to put it on at SummerSlam and been like, hey, look, there it is. And then be like, okay, there's going to be a finish there. Maybe Riddle goes over, and then Rollins, of course, attacks him again to try and get that rematch, or injures him, and then, oh, well, the rematch will hit here. Instead, we got the altercation at SummerSlam, where we got the Seth GIF, and it has turned into, like, okay, yeah, we actually do want to see a match now. We want to see what happens when these two have to battle one another face-to-face instead of one having to come running from the back. Essentially,
I'm gonna say what I said when these two were gonna hook up at SummerSlam before Riddle was injured. That ever since Riddle had that match against Roman on SmackDown, he has really, really altered my opinion of his in-ring ability in contrast to the character. And I am looking forward to this being an absolute five-star barn burner.
Has potential to be.
Am I setting myself up for a letdown?
With the amount of matches on this show, probably not.
Because basically what I just did without confirming it yet is saying this is a match of the night written all over it.
Has potential to be.
If it isn't, does that make it a disappointing matchup?
No, it doesn't have to steal the show to be a good match between these two. I think them going out and giving a good effort,
yeah,
will be worth it alone. Now, both of now, these guys,
Before you go further, you say Seth going out and giving a good effort makes it worth it. Have we ever had a Seth match at a pay-per-view, premium live event, whatever the hell you want to call it, where he didn't give a good effort?
No.
I can't even think of one. So.
But what I was going to also say is the fact that, like, Seth naturally wants to elevate whatever he's doing to being the, there's a reason why it's Seth freaking Rollins. Is he thinks he's that much greater, and he goes out and gives, five-star effort every time. So do I think that this absolutely could be a five-star? Yeah. Does it have to be? No, but I will be, very happy if it turns out to be. I'll be like, okay, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it got up to that level. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be for me to sit back and enjoy the match between these two. And kind of touching what you were on earlier, there is like essentially the two sides of Riddle that we've seen that he can weave into that character of, you know, the goofy, you know, hopping into the ring, let whatever animal loose as yeah. part of the intro. But then there's always that little bit that I think people forget. It's like, yeah, this guy is a trained mixed martial arts fighter. Like, he is a legitimate badass, and he can, you know, stretch you, break you in many different ways. And Seth is kind of bringing that part out a little more, where you're seeing Riddle being a little bit more angry, a little bit more aggressive. And not that I think Seth is trying to get to that, but it's just Seth is being such an asshole that it's Riddle is like, okay, I'm just going to try and end you.
Yeah. What do you think, Keish?
I mean, you guys kind of hit all of those good points, right? Like, it was smart that they decided to push this one back and give it like an even better build. They did a really good job building the two of them together. I mean, Seth is consistently delivering at being this current iteration of the Seth Rollins character, getting under people's skins, being annoying, and doing a great job of it. Riddle has, I think he's delivered on a level of, you know, like you guys said, being outside of the ring, being, you know, fun, relaxed, laid back, you know, that, you know, Riddle guy. But once he gets in that ring, it's all business. And, you know, he reminds you he's a former MMA fighter. He reminds you that if he really wants to, he could kick the living crap out of you, and there isn't a whole lot you can do about it. So these two have been a good they've been a good storyline. They've been a good build up. I think they're going to have a great match. I think Riddle's going to win, though, only because it feels like Seth Rollins is at a point in his career where he can have great matches, lose matches, and it won't hurt him one iota, because he'll literally just come out the next night and be an annoying asshole, and we'll all love it.
Okay, I need to look something up then. Hang on.
What are you looking up?
I'm going to see the last time Seth Rollins won a meaningful match.
We did this last
time Seth won a premium live event match.
A premium live event. I'm just going to talk meaningful.
Okay, because we did the premium live event one last pay-per-view.
I know. Let me see. Seth, I'm not counting the WWE Live Sunday Stunner or Saturday Night Main Event thing. No, that doesn't count.
What do you determine a meaningful match?
Well, let me see. The last time he won on Raw was August 8th against Dawkins.
And then before the week before.
And the week before was Ford.
So he beat the former tag team champions back-to-back.
Okay. The last, essentially, TV match before that was he beat Ezekiel.
Okay, so he's had three wins, okay.
And Ezekiel. That was July 4th and July 18th, respectively.
When Ezekiel was at his highest popularity.
Okay, June 13th against AJ.
That's a big win.
So that was 2.5 months ago.
He has five. You've counted four or five wins already to counteract some losses. So I don't know what point you're trying to make.
Well, it's just when Seth gets into these big feuds.
When he's a heel, he loses.
Yes.
That's kind of obvious.
I know, but to kind of counteract Casey, like, I feel like he does need a win here in order to, like, I get that he doesn't need it. But at some point, when does he become kind of like a Dolph Ziggler, where it's like, okay, yeah, you know, he's around in a lot of these things, but is he ever really going to win?
It all depends who the champion is. Right now, with a heel champion, the other heels lose the big matches, so the baby faces go over as potential challengers for the heel champion. That's kind of the role, because you're trying to build up all the secondary people.
Sorry, I was having to sneeze. No, I understand that. I'm just, in this case, I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion that Riddle's going to win.
No, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
I'm just picking Riddle.
He's just picking Riddle.
Right, Right. Tim, and I think I'm going to be different, and I'm going to take Rollins.
That's fair. I'm not saying, like, you know, the 100% of the time Riddle's going to win this match. It's just I'm picking Riddle to win.
Because I could see something like at the very end, Seth does something, either some kind of chicanery or Riddle gets too aggressive.
Or, yeah,
and it costs him.
Rollins is the type of guy that could just, like, just heal Riddle's baby toe and cost him the match.
Tim, who'd you take?
Good answer.
He's thinking. That's what he's going to say. Don't rush me. I'm thinking.
It's what he does.
Not. Put the hamster back on the wheel.
Did we lose Tim? Did he unplug a microphone?
Nope. Did you lose me again?
I think mentally we lost you years ago.
Okay, so basically you're saying you can hear me.
Now we can.
Okay, well, there's, yeah, I was busy talking, and you guys just wouldn't shut up. It was throwing my train. And I'm like, what the hell? Oh, maybe his mic broke. No, I don't know what happened. Anyway, I'm of two minds about this entire thing. There's a scenario that I would love to see, but it can't happen. And I'll get to that in a little bit. I would not be surprised to see this end in a DQ, no contest, whatever. Precisely because Riddle is pissed off enough that he wants to rip Seth's head off, storyline-wise. On the other token, if there is a winner, it's going to be Riddle. I'm picking Riddle. The scenario that I would love to see, but it can't happen. Riddle wins, and as he's celebrating the victory, Seth isn't beat up to the point where he can't get off the canvas or anything like that. He suckers Riddle, blindsides him, and starts beating him down post-match after Riddle's victory. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out comes Randy to make the save.
If he's healthy.
I'm saying it can't happen. He's not healthy enough.
You never know.
But I think if he were and that happened, a hell of a pop from the live crowd and a hell of a pop from the TV viewers.
He would just come out of nowhere.
Yep, right out of nowhere.
All right.
So, but I would love to see that scenario. So I'm saying, yeah, if I got to pick a winner, it's going to be Riddle.
It's Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and Bianca Belair taking on Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky.
It's going to be a fun match. Great six woman tag. Bayley just came back, brought Dakota and Io with her. Mm-hmm. You want to build their momentum and their heat. At this point in time, if Bayley were with two other, air quotes, seasoned WWE veterans, taking the loss wouldn't hurt. In this situation, it wouldn't hurt Bayley, but it could damage Dakota and Io. And you don't want to do that with two superstars that you just brought in, like at the last premium live event.
Especially with them possibly holding gold come later tomorrow night.
Well, I was going to say, like, would it hurt them if they're already in the finals of the women's tag team tournament? Like, they've established themselves as a tag team. They're in the finals fighting for the championships. I mean, who knows if a certain tag team's going to show up at the very end of it to challenge for those belts afterwards. Who knows? But if they lose here...
Internet rumors. Gotta love them.
But if they lose in this six-person tag, does it really hinder them if they could be tag champs and or fighting for those belts?
Yes. At this point in time, you put the belts on them and then all of a sudden they lose. It steals momentum. It really does. And any booker that knows what he's doing wouldn't book something like that.
From a booking standpoint, this is 100% easy booking setup next contender. You have one of the three pin the champ and there's your next contender for your next title defense in October.
And that would be Dakota and Io doing some nefarious stuff while Bayley and Bianca are in the ring. One of them distracts the ref, the other one cheap shots her, and Bayley gets the pin over Bianca.
And look, a title match has been set up.
I mean, again, I go back to smart booking, which is what I brought up, right?
It's easy booking.
My next door neighbors are shooting at each other with assault rifles.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know if you heard that or not, but
no,
Yeah, they're shooting at each other with assault rifles.
Like real assault rifles?
Well, they look like real assault rifles. I mean, it's a good thing Bucky has a metal arm because he's deflecting the bullets, but...
Oh.
Did I have you thinking that my neighbors are actually, like,
you had him, shooting each other? You had him going.
I kayfabed him. Baby!
I mean, you do live in the Northeast.
I live on the west side of Deerfoot.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
No, they're bleeding over and you know it.
No, they're not.
Especially
not
where
here.
You are.
Dude, I'm near 40th Avenue. Forget it.
Yeah.
North, in the
they
north.
Got that, they got that low-income housing. They used
not
to be
over
a hotel.
Here, they don't. Not over here, they don't. Nuh-uh. There is no such thing as low-income housing in my neighborhood.
At McKnight and Edmonton Trail?
That's not my neighborhood.
You said 40th Ave.
That's north of me.
Because that makes it so much further.
Oh hell no! I'm just off. I'm just off from the snobby golf course, bro.
Yeah, which is only 8 blocks away.
All right, halt! Stop! Stop! Stop!
I'm only 2 blocks from Center Street. Stop. It's the other side that gets the grief.
Stop! Stop giving out specific locations on the internet. Jesus Christ!
I love it when Casey and I get going.
No, it's not.
I just wanted him to get swatted.
Yeah, oh, good. Like, another streamer got swatted a couple hours ago.
Oh, what happened?
A police officer showed up because people made claims on a big stream.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So on this next episode of Fun with Flags, starring Casey and Tim.
I love Fun with Flags.
So let's not give out specific locations on the internet. Thanks. Back to the match.
I never gave out my specific address, and I don't intend to.
I would never give out Tim's specific address because I don't know exactly where he lives.
And that's the way it's going to stay, so you don't give it out.
Yep.
There you go.
Anyway, so we're not counting blocks. Let's get back to the booking of this match. Who's winning, Casey?
I think Bayley's team is going to win. Brad, I think from the fact that, you know, they all just kind of came back / debuted and they're gaining momentum, it doesn't make any sense for them not to.
Brent, who's winning?
Control. I think that's what their name is, right?
They don't have a. That's an internet name, not an actual given name.
Okay, well, I think like they, on the internet or on like YouTube as well, their theme song is titled "Something Control." So,
yeah, you know, Control is the fake CIA name in the TV series Get Smart. So, no.
Tim, who's winning?
Well, I kind of already alluded to Bayley, Dakota, and Io, didn't I?
I'm just putting it on record. That's all I'm doing. All right. It is
recorded on record.
That way Brent can write it down and everything's good.
Hey, you know what we should talk about next? Maybe is the women's SmackDown Championship. Liv Morgan's defending against Shayna Baszler.
Go on, Tim. Go off and rant.
I'm not going to rant. I'm really not going to rant. I am going to say kudos to all of the Liv Morgan fans for loving that Liv Morgan beat Ronda Rousey twice in a scripted entertainment event. I don't want to get a lot of hate from Liv Morgan fans. I don't hate Liv Morgan. She's a pleasure to watch wrestle in the ring, but she doesn't sell being a champion to me. Really, she doesn't. And she's trying valiantly, but I'm just having a hard time buying into it. Now, that's just me personally. I'm sure that zillions of people are lapping it up and suspending their disbelief. I'm just there. I don't know what it is. There's just something that I can't. And the problem with that is I'm picking her to beat Shayna Baszler in this match. And I don't expect this particular match to be a 5-star match.
Okay.
That's what I got to say about it. I don't know what else to, you know, add or interject.
Casey, thoughts?
Interesting. I'm going to pick Liv to win. I think they're going to give her a little bit more time with the belt before she drops it to somebody else. I think this match will be better than Tim thinks it will be.
Let me just clarify that just a tiny little bit. I don't think it's going to be a stinker.
No, I'm not saying that you are saying it's going to be a stinker. I just think that it's, I just think that the caliber of the match will be slightly better than what you're expecting.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Not, I'm not saying that you're thinking that it's garbage. I have higher hopes for the match than you do.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be eminently watchable. Just.
Yes. I respect Liv for the fact that she puts in a lot of extra work to try and get to a point where she is looked at as a respected champion / competitor. So I think the match is going to be good. I don't anticipate it being like match of the night. But I still think they're going to keep it on Liv for a little while longer.
All right, Brent.
In terms of this, I can see where Tim's coming from in the idea that she hasn't felt like Bianca as champion has felt more pronounced, I would say.
Bianca feels like a champion.
Well, and I think it's partially how Liv came to the title as well. Like, Bianca came up with pomp and flair and, like, she was always billed as a legitimate contender / champion. She's come in with the swagger. Liv, for her entire journey, I don't want to say an outcast, but she's been the plucky person. She was never billed as a champion. It was something that she was going to have to work up towards. And when it first started, she was the third person of the Riot Squad. There was Ruby, who was the big worker. There was Sarah, who was the powerhouse. And then there was Liv, who was kind of, you know, the cute, quirky girl. And then that broke down. And Liv has always, I mean, she has put in the effort, like Casey says, and that's gotten her to exactly where she's been to be a title contender. I think also the fact that she won the title with the Money in the Bank briefcase for some people also kind of tints the way that she's seen as champion, because it's like, oh, she didn't win like the big match. She won a match after Ronda was already in one and hurt. And it doesn't help that in her first defense with Ronda, she technically tapped out before the pin. But the one thing I think WWE is doing well with, and I will caveat this with, it's not on their main TV. I would say the one thing that WWE has done well is the videos with her and Riddle training on how to combat Shayna and her MMA background. So like how to fight out of the Karafuta clutch. And I think that's going to come into play in this match. You're going to have that moment where Shayna's going to just be beating on Liv the entire match, working her arm, being Shayna, essentially. But as we've always learned with Shayna, she gets too confident, and I think that's where it's going to bite her in the end. She's going to think she has Liv taken care of. She's going to try and lock in the Karafuta clutch, and Liv is going to find some way, some creative way of getting out of it, just like Ember did when she flipped over in the clutch and got Ronda as a pin, or like Kairi did when she fought Ronda for the belt. There's always a way that that Shayna gets into a situation and gets outmaneuvered. And I think that's going to happen here. It's going to be interesting to see how it works out. And I think it's going to play into the fact that it's like Liv knows that she doesn't have necessarily all the physical traits of Shayna or Ronda, but that she can be very strategic and find a way out of that situation that even Shayna didn't consider.
Okay. So there you go. Main event. Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. So we'll go to Casey first. Thoughts on this match?
What can I say about this? That we've seen it a few times. I'm sure because of the two participants in this match, they will figure out a way to make it different.
And yeah, still, please.
Still make it entertaining, whether it be how the match is done, how the finish is done, yada, yada, yada. Because I've seen it as many times, I'm not like as hyped about it as much as I am some of the other ones on this card. That doesn't mean that I don't think this will be good, because these are two very good workers. It's just a matter of, well, they've wrestled each other a number of times before. What more different can we see out of it?
This time, they flip roles.
Yes.
And it's Drew has the hometown crowd with him, one would assume.
One would hope.
Yeah. With all this build, one would hope.
I mean, it's Wales versus Scotland. Is that really hometown?
Country. Home country. Better. Yes.
That's what Cubert sounds like.
Oh, my God.
Cubert! Oh, that's great. Roman Reigns is going to retain the title. I don't think the match will be as staticky as Tim's microphone.
Thanks. Now I have to leave a static in the podcast. Thanks. To get that
reference. Yeah, Roman Reigns retains, but it will be, I think the match will still be entertaining, even though we've seen it a number of times before. It will not be, I don't think it will be top match on the card, best match on the card, but it won't be garbage either.
All right, do I dare say, hey, Tim, thoughts? It was me trying to get away to get it, either it works or it doesn't work. It makes things better for, you know, post. Anyway, Brent, thoughts?
Okay. So I went different from Keishi earlier tonight with Riddle and Rollins. Fuck it, I'm doing it here. I don't care if I'm going to be wrong. I really don't. I just have to say this. For the love of God, you're in that country. You are so close. You can do it. You can pull the trigger.
Yeah, but you're missing the new X factor of the bloodline getting involved.
All three of them, I know.
Can all three go?
I guess we'll find out soon.
Because I don't know.
I know two of them couldn't get into Canada.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they got the...
Okay, so...
Maybe they'll send their honorary oos along.
That's why I think he's a big part of it right now, because they're not sure if they can get over. I mean, they went to Saudi and they were good, but that's Saudi. And...
But here's the other thing. There's another X factor that could play a fact in this match. You don't necessarily need the bloodline. You don't necessarily need Sammy.
You have a...
You could... Yeah, you could have a certain Hourglass show up.
Oh, I had something else, but go on.
And TikTok, because he's already inserted himself into, you know, Drew's life, and we heard... On SmackDown, he basically was calling out the Chosen One. He's already also laid claim to the, you know, the big shinies on Roman's shoulder as well. But if need be, he could be the, you know, the linchpin of Drew's demise for this show. In terms of a pick, I'm still going to do it until, you know, eventually I'm proven right. But yeah, there's a couple of ways you can play this out if you do want to keep Roman in charge and have a storyline coming out of this. And you do also have, you know, option C, the, or a town.
Or just another theory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It could be a town down.
Imagine that heat, though, if he wins that belt there.
Oh, he won't be able to come home. They will track him down in Wales. That is an island. He has to find a way off of it.
I hope he can swim.
Imagine Drew wins and then Theory wins.
Oh.
I said it months ago.
That's the thing. Drew can win and still not be champion. He could be a, you know, quite literal transitional champion for a night.
The heat would be fantastic.
And you've also got, if that does happen, so you'd have potential suitors in Roman trying to get his belts back, although he could also take some time off because, you know, he's been going for 600 plus days. Drew could seek his rematch. You could have Cross seeking, you know, the crown. And finally, you have a certain returning superstar who's already laid out his former, you know, adoptive son. So if you did decide to pull the trigger on that whole line of booking, as you proposed, Rock, there's five different ways you could go with it, which would be kind of intriguing to see.
It would be. All right. We're going to test this one more time.
Left. I think he's turning it off and turning it
on. Oh,
again.
He left already. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He's turning it off and turning it on again.
We think.
We hope.
We hope. Okay. So before we, because we're almost out of time because we've covered all the matches, I need to throw something out there because, you know, why not? So, we're going to Wales, right? Is that Cardiff, Wales? That's where we're going for this show?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we could see other returns, right, Brent?
Rock, please. Please do not get my hopes up for this. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I threw that idea out there. But
which
don't
one?
Get my hopes up.
She got
a certain,
she got
a certain shiny wizard.
Well, the here's the I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on that, and here's why.
But can, she just got
can
fancy
they
hair.
Can they return there? Yes. But what do you do with them after the fact?
Private jet.
If they don't have the proper documentation, do they get back into the country?
Maybe they have the proper documentation by now. Because a company could help them get her
that. Oh, I mean, 100% that's what needs to happen. The company needs
she
to...
She needs a job, and, well, if she needs a visa...
Casey, don't feed him, okay? Do not let him continue this. He's doing this just to egg me on.
No, I'm doing this to fill in time to see if Tim comes back or not.
No, no, earlier today you were doing this for what? For a very specific purpose.
I was not doing anything. I just showed a picture. That's all I did. She is
no, you showed a picture
hair.
And your question was, so, do you think this is for ...?
What do you think this is for?
What?
I hate you, Rock.
Can
I
you,
hate you
can
so
you
much.
Show me the picture?
I'll find the picture. We're gonna go. Hey, Tim.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey.
The internet is fine. My microphone is fine. My sound settings are absolutely bang on. It was Skype that fucked up.
Did you update?
I didn't do anything that doesn't normally happen every time I fire up the computer. What I did was I just quit Skype and then restarted it.
That's a fresh do.
That is a fresh do. Why is she
and
getting
you know
a
what
fresh
happens when people get fresh do's?
Jason, do not feed this!
Listen,
okay, who is this? What did I miss? What's this
listen,
all about?
50% of me wants it to happen.
Oh, no, I want it to happen. I just don't want to be disappointed. Because
what
I know
did I miss? What,
because that
what?
Asshole also does it with someone else on the network.
What did I miss?
Rock is egging Brent on about the possibility of Tegan Nox re-debuting at Clash of the Castle.
Chris, look, she has spiffy new hair.
She has spiffy new hair, and if they get her documentation, it's possible. She is from the Wales area.
It would only make sense.
But you can also look at it as it made sense for Johnny Gargano to come out in Cleveland.
Exactly. But it didn't. It happened in Toronto. Hey, she could be showing up on Monday. She
could be showing up on Monday.
Yeah. Not Friday because that's already taped. Should be Monday. Anyway, real fast, Tim, you got in the main event.
Well, I'm just figuring it's going to be a Bull versus a Bear, and you can expect the two big boys to do what they have done ad infinitum in the past. And that's just throw each other around. I want to go out on the limb and say Drew's going to win, but shit.
I mean, Brent's already going there.
Mm. Well, they are in Wales, which is just like one country away from Scotland, who have voted to leave the European Union, by the way. Oh, the hell with it. I'm going to just pick Drew for the shits and the giggles.
There you go. So that's
I figure I got two wrong on this one. So
there you go. So that's WWE Clash at the Castle. There will be no WTR review of it because
it's on a Saturday, and then there's wrestling on Sunday, and it's like 12 hours long. And
it's just and we tried for a Saturday, but Tim can't confirm it. So
I won't be able to confirm it until Friday.
Right, and we don't want to promote
and that's
it.
That's not enough time.
Yeah, so we're just good. If they have opinions, we'll talk about it the week after.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. They'll talk about it. They'll have.
We'll say, so that happened.
Yeah, so we'll get thoughts and opinions.
Why don't we just pre-record some, like we pretended we watched it all, and then, you know, just give total bullshit takes on the matches. That'd be kind of funny.
Isn't that what we're doing right now?
No.
That again means you have to come up with a time and place, a schedule, which you can't
I
even
still
do.
Have to figure out where what's convenient. Yep.
And with so much going on, we just don't have the time. But we're done for tonight.
That's it? That's all? That's all she wrote?
That's all she wrote.
That's it for Wrestle Talk Radio for the next 2 weeks. We will next be on the air. It'll be September, and all the kiddies will be back in school.
Kids are already back in school.
Oh, well, not all of them, not everywhere. So, but yeah, so we're looking at a return September the 11th, if I do my math correctly.
That would be the plan.
Yeah, of course, there's a lot of stuff happening between now and then, starting tomorrow night, immediately following Raw with the post show.
Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
And he'll be joined by Lindsay Ward, which will make it somewhat listenable in comparison, instead of Rock just doing it himself. And he's like, who is this guy? And don't worry about it. It's like people wondering who Star-Lord was. But speaking about Lindsay Ward, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack.
We'll be previewing Clash at the Castle this Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on The Rack. You can check out The Rack Extra Reviews, Madden NFL 23. And there's only one problem. Both are now available at rockradioshow.com.
That's a problem because nobody understood what you said.
Everyone understood what I said.
Nobody knows what you say. But, oh, you know what? Here it is. You know, kick on to Fortnite. Use the creator code ROCKINSOCK.
You can use credit card RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy your Dragon Ball Z skins, your Destiny 2 skins. What other crossovers do they have? There's a lot. Go use the code. You can also use it in the Epic Game Store when you buy a video game like Madden NFL 23, which is now available. Hashtag Epic Partner.
You know, that's one video game that doesn't change and hasn't changed for 30 years. Still, Madden NFL.
Still a good game. It's on PC in the Epic Game Store. Go buy it.
The only game I was ever able to beat Owen in without even knowing what the hell I was doing, and he'd get mad at me. Congratulations, Dad, you beat a 12-year-old. Yeah, well, I wasn't trying. I just kept smashing the buttons and it worked. I don't know. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it. Doesn't shit go down, Rock?
It's called CB Radio. CBRadioLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Before that, we'll be Fortnite with friends around 10:30-ish.
Ishy.
Yep.
And, of course, next Sunday, wall-to-wall wrestling, so no Wrestle Talk Radio once again, everybody.
No Wrestle Talk Radio, but they'll be programming to cover All Out. We're going to do the CB Radio Not So Live at some point, so you'll have that. If you want to Clash the Castle full review, that'll be on The Rack the following Thursday, so check all those things out. So we have it all covered. It just won't be in your regular time slots.
Exactly. There you go. And for any and all updates concerning WildTalkRadio.com, WrestleTalkRadio.com, or any of the webcasts that we do, you might want to follow us on social media.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. It's WTR Sunday Night on the Facebook and the Twitter machine. So do the thing. Follow those specific channels.
Hey, you know what? I follow those channels on my Twitter. My Twitter is at FlamesForms. Follow me there if you're not. Most of you probably already are, but if you're not, then do it because you'll be happy that you did with all of the wonderful smashing content that I put up there. Not like Casey.
Yeah, you can catch me on Twitter. Most of the time. I spend a lot of time retweeting Big Bad Boris's low-impact aquasize extravaganza. You can find that and other retweeting of awesome local Alberta / BC / Saskatchewan / Manitoba / all-around Canadian awesome independent wrestling at Twitter, at Kyle Driver.
Buy his stuff at Redbubble.
You should sell stuff on Redbubble.
I already did that plug. Redbubble search.
Hey, it's back to school. If you, want to back-to-school supply your children or yourselves and put Sushi Plex or a caricature of me eating out of a bento box on your notebooks, coffee mugs, T-shirts, head over to Redbubble and check out some of that merch. You can find the links to that at my Twitter bio.
There you go. Hey, I went to a garage sale yesterday, but came away empty-handed. All they had were two cars, two car garages.
What did you want?
Brent, plug your Twitter.
That was so bad.
Okay, so
I'm a dad. It's a dad joke.
It was so bad.
That's the idea of a dad joke.
Doesn't mean it's not bad.
Shut up, Rock. Brent's trying to plug his Twitter. Brent, what are you waiting for? Hurry up.
So you can find me on Twitter, both at Kane Kitten, so you can follow my fantasy tag team partner at the WTR Wheel on Twitter. I make friends, and I also decide to question how a video game that hasn't even been released yet can win an award, because I'm still trying to figure that one out.
There you go. Hey, Casey, you know what scares me about WTR Fantasy this time around?
That I'm doing really, really well.
Well, no, that doesn't scare me. Here it is.
Scares me.
Well, hang on. Let me get to it. If you're not kicking ass, then I'm kicking ass. So basically, we're both kicking ass. You know what that means at the in the finals?
That it's going to be close, and we may, by hook or by crook, in some sort of miracle, beat Lindsay and Rock?
Oh, hell no. They're going to cheat and win again.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to give shout-outs to Brent. He really brought it for his team last week.
Yeah,
I wanted to acknowledge that since.
Thank you, Casey.
Well, you know, the wheel's been kind of pulling the weight, so it's nice that you gave him a bit of a break and you said, "Hey, I got this."
The wheel is the real hero of that team.
I would like to thank Papa Hunter for taking over the booking and helping my fantasy team out. Big props, Papa H.
Really weird. All right, that's it. We're done, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you in 2 weeks. Say goodnight, Casey.
Good night, Casey.
WildTalkRadio.com.